Okay, good morning everybody. Am I audible? Okay, I am Karunakar from the IND Linux project, where we work in the localization of Indian languages. And while I am not directly into the OpenOffice localization, but we have our translators who work on the Hindi localization. This talk was originally was to be given by another person, the lead person who is leading the Indian language OpenOffice efforts, Mr. RKVS Raman. So unfortunately, he couldn't make it to the event. So myself, Javier, and Jamil Ahmed, we all coming from the South Asia localization efforts. So we'll just talk briefly about the efforts. So just to start with, first I'd like to just show a brief on how the Indian language localization is going on. So this is just a status chart on the localization map. So basically the top part is about the basic language status, that is whether the input, output, print and display, etc. works or not, whether the font support is there or not. So and after that, that is the rendering problems, I mean the rendering stuff. So wherever you see red means that language is particularly maybe not supported or that package is not supported. Wherever it is that light blue and green, there is support for it and it can be used. And this is the translations part. So much of the GNOME desktop, etc. is translated, and OpenOffice 2.0 has been translated into quite a few languages. At least, I think 4 languages, it's already complete. And I think another 4 are already being done, worked upon. And then we have the rest of the desktop applications. And we also have for some languages a very basic spell checker for OpenOffice, which is primarily based on Hunspell. I think there is a talk after this only. So this is basically the localization map of the for Indian languages. And just to come to the OpenOffice part. The OpenOffice localization efforts has been led by the Bharati OO team, based out of Bangalore in India. So this team has been working over for the last 3 years in localizing to Indian languages. This is done by an organization called CDAC, the Center for Development of Advanced Computing, which is a kind of an R&D, IT R&D firm. And they have done a lot of, they have a good track record of multilingual computing over the last 20 years. So they have been leading the Bharati OO team in Bangalore and actually Bombay also. They have been doing this work for quite some time. And I think the current status is that about 7 languages, so 8 languages. I mean, okay, 7 languages. OpenOffice has been localized to 7 Indian languages, and there is already downloads available for it. And also what the government has been doing over the last 2 years, the Ministry of IT, the minister there has been very proactive in promoting the wide distribution of open source tools in Indian languages. So there has been a project that is going on by the government called the Technology Development for Indian Languages. And as a part of this, there is this ILDC, Indian Language Development Center. So what they are doing is collecting the different software tools available for different languages and releasing it as a CD. And while they are including some Windows-based stuff also, but they have also included a lot of open source stuff and primarily OpenOffice localized into different languages. So three languages, for three languages, the CDs have been released. Almost, it is estimated that about 1 million CDs per language have been distributed widely. So we can assume that it almost reach about 3 million users. And now the effort is further picking up, and I think in the next 6 months there will be releases for another 5 or 6 languages. And we also have the already NLC teams for the languages that have been worked upon, primarily Gujarati, Hindi, Punjabi and Bengali. And then we have the other native language teams for the Linux localization and general FOSS localization. That are there for almost all the 10 major languages. We have groups working on them. And especially while, say, Hindi, Tamil, I think Assamese, Malayalam, Marathi, Oriya, and Urdu efforts were primarily driven by Bharati OO team, and Gujarati and Punjabi were driven by the localization teams who were already working on it, and they contributed the translations to the Bharati OO team, who then regularly make builds out of them. So I just started a wiki page on the OpenOffice wiki, where I will just collect all information about the INDIC OpenOffice efforts.
So how does it translate into amounts of people? Huh? Amounts of people who get access? How many people would more or less would these languages affect?
This would actually, for example, Hindi is spoken about by 400 million people. So. And the other languages also, it's like at least 100 million each. So you can easily say there are almost 1 billion people are being affected by it. But then the issue there again is like only about, I think, 5% have access to computers. So that's another drawback now. And even in that 5%, then maybe only say another 5% actually work on open source, are using open source. But then I think all these efforts of the government releasing, distributing CDs, and the different language teams, the localization teams also promoting it through the Linux distributions, I think it will pick up in the next 2 years. We already have recently over the last 5-6 months, there have been a lot of announcements. There was a ODF conference in Delhi, where a lot of the government people and the industry and academia were there. And in fact, some of the governments were convinced on moving to the ODF format for all the documents. So that would mean in some time they will all be shifting to OpenOffice. And a couple of, I think, organizations have already mandated use of OpenOffice in their organizations. And more recent news has been that one of the southern state called Kerala, which has the language Malayalam, so they have mandated that they would use free and open source on all the educational schools, what are all the projects they run on schools and even government sector. Yeah.
which state is Bangalore in, and which language is the local language?
Bangalore is in Karnataka and the local language is Kannada.
Kannada.
Yeah, but then unfortunately what has happened, while localization did happen for Kannada about 3 years back, that was for 1.x, and that after it was done, it hasn't been migrated to 2.0, and there's no active team working on it further. But I think maybe the Bharati OO team might take it up soon, because that's already in the government's agenda to release Kannada also.
Bangalore being the IT art of India would be kind of a symbol to have some open source software translated in local language here.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a team working, but now since the people have moved out to some other stuff. So
it was actually contracted to Mahiti.
No, there was a team working in the organization, mm-hmm. but then those people moved out.
Okay.
So now they are no longer into localization activity.
They are employed by Red Hat?
Yeah, one guy is now. In fact, I think maybe if one or two persons, if Red Hat employs someone for Canada, then they might be starting some translation work for that. Because they already Red Hat has hired few people for different languages and they have started the GNOME efforts. And somebody is doing OpenOffice also.
In terms of strategy, is government promoting localized versions of OpenOffice.org, or is it promoting English versions of OpenOffice.org when it is trying to distribute it within government offices?
I'm not sure of the exact thing here, but basically what we know is at least the CD distribution part, that is, while the English version is also there, they're also distributing the localized version. And for offices, etc., the thing there is that while they primarily want the language support, they generally don't want the interface itself into that language because they're already used to using the English language interface. So a lot of people have been finding that as another hindrance. So the initial part, they are just comfortable using the English OpenOffice as long as if they can use their language within OpenOffice. I think maybe some time down line, we'll find people more comfortable with local interfaces. It's actually been this way that people have never seen a localized computer till now. So when they see it now, it's kind of a change for them. So maybe it will take some time for them to pick it up.
Behind my question, there's also the issue, and I think the Canada localization is illustrative, and that is are the localization efforts in India, for that matter, other parts of Asia, more marketing events and or tactics, or are they really meant to create a product that a large-scale user would use for real? And I'm just curious to know what your impression is.
Actually, till now, all the localization effort that has been happening, it was primarily voluntary, except for the OpenOffice efforts, I think, which have been since there is a team, full-time team working there. They have been doing it. But as such, for the general localization teams, they don't really have a strategy as such in place. It's primarily more of, this is something that needs to be done, and so let's do it. And we have been doing it. And the OpenOffice efforts specifically, well, since I am not part of that team, but they also have, it's more or less like this, that, okay, this is something that needs to be done, let's do it. And now only, I think, over the last 1 year, with the OpenOffice marketing groups getting organized in India, and the different organization trying to promote it, only now there is more or less like a strategy getting formed, which I think would take more concrete shape in some time down the line. So I guess I'll now give to Javier Sola, who leads the Cambodian localization efforts. He'll talk a bit about what's happening in the rest of South Asia.
Just a minute.
Just wait 2 minutes.
Can we do some Cambodian dance or whatever?
learning the Bhutanese.
Ah, I'm okay. We can do it together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, I mean, somehow the for what we are concerned on localization, well, the Asian coast can be clearly divided into three areas: South Asia, that would be India and all the countries around it, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Bhutan. Bhutan is slightly different. In the next block will be Southeast Asia, that has mixed types of scripts. Some of them come actually from India, and some of them are just using Latin scripts. And then we have China, Japan, and Korea, who use a completely different type of writing. What Karunakar has been talking about is mostly India, but it's similar in other countries. Pakistan is trying to start with Urdu, doing an open source localization, but there's very little done. Nepal is very advanced on also on localization. They have released fully translated distribution in Nepali. The script is not so much of a problem for Nepal because they use the Banagari script, the same script that is used for Hindi and Sanskrit. So that is okay. Another country in the region is Bhutan, but I let my colleague Christian speak about that later. In Sri Lanka, they're also moving towards localization. Sri Lanka is a very interesting case because there's a lot of the open source development. I think it's the largest open source group, for example, for Apache, is in Sri Lanka. And then we move east to Southeast Asia. Southeast Asia are countries like Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, Laos, Myanmar. And except for Thailand, which has a very developed economy, we're talking about much poorer countries. Thailand has been working on localization for quite some time, and they are actually very advanced, but not using it very much. Thai, Khmer, Lao are very related scripts. And together with Myanmar, they have this specific thing that you don't separate the words. You just write all together. And that brings a lot of problems for word processors because they don't know where to cut the line. And for example, in Thai, they have got to the point at which they have algorithms that can find the right points to cut the lines. And this really is the point at which we all want to get there. In Cambodia, we have localized applications. So most basic applications, maybe a year and a half ago, we finished. We have also localized SUSE. We have localized KDE. So we have a complete environment, Linux environment, that we have localized. We have been distributing open source. There's one point is there's no Microsoft in Khmer, in Cambodian language. So we are the only software in Khmer language. And that really gives us a lot of advantage. We are also changing from old fonts to Unicode fonts. So there's a big change in Cambodia. We really get support from different donors. For example, we get support from the German government to do a lot of training on open source. We have trained about 500 computer teachers, which in Cambodia is a lot, on how to teach OpenOffice in Khmer. We have we have 65 hours of training materials in Khmer for OpenOffice. We have a book. We have a 450-page book that we will be printing now. So we're actually quite well prepared to distribute open source, and we're doing it. We're really trying to figure out how to distribute open source with very little money. One of our initiatives this year is to do a contest. We're really running a big national contest on learning how to type in Unicode and learning how to do fast OpenOffice applications. So like a 5-minute, very simple thing. But that's enough to create motivation in people. a national price of $800 is enough to get thousands of people moving and learning how to use OpenOffice. And meanwhile, we send volunteers to all provinces. We have a volunteer network in which we have taken volunteers from all the provinces of Cambodia, computer science students that during the year work in the capital. And right before the summer vacation, we train them. And we send them back to their own houses for them to distribute OpenOffice. And this is Mekala. It's Firefox for in Khmer. We use, everything is localized for us, names, images. So they stay in their own house for 2 months, and they distribute, they install, go cyber cafes, training places, install posters, install the computers, give them first aid training. So we're really, promotion is the main part of our task now. You know, my group is 15 people, 14 now. There are 5 people doing promotion. There are 4 people doing localization. Then we just keep increasing the amount of applications that we localize. And then we have 4 people in the team developing for the workforce project. We're creating an offline editor based in Cambodia. And part of workforce is being developed in South Africa, and part is being developed in Cambodia. But we have changed our focus from localization to promotion. And that is really working. But mostly because we really count with the advantage of being the only software in Khmer language. And we are really, really using that. Vietnam is a little bit farther behind. There's a lot of work that they want to do, but there are very few results on localization. There are people working really, really hard outside of Vietnam, but they have too much structure. Some of the localization efforts are stopped because somebody at a higher level doesn't understand really what is happening. And in Vietnam, that is very important. If your boss doesn't understand what you're doing, it will never happen. But we're trying now to get together people who are outside of Vietnam with people inside. The Agence de la Francophonie is also really helping to get open office in Vietnamese finished. So we really hope that we will have it very soon. Laos is slightly farther behind, but last year they did an effort to localize ADE and OpenOffice. So we're really hoping that, but now it's kind of stopped. It was being helped by UNDP, but now the people who are in UNDP, the contract finished, and the government doesn't really know what to do with it. So for the moment, Laos is kind of stopped. Myanmar is slightly complicated now because they're modifying Unicode. So it's still a bad moment to start. Microsoft doesn't support Myanmar. We're working on support on ICU for OpenOffice, but we're waiting for Unicode to be stable, which is not yet the case. Myanmar is really the country that's farther behind in all the weird scripts region. But in general, there's a strong movement for the localization of open source because we really believe that Microsoft will take a long time before they come out with a product in Khmer, Lao, or Myanmar. So there's a big window of opportunity I don't know what that is, it's not mine. There's a big window of opportunity to get all these scripts and to get open source running in these countries through a strong promotion. If there are no any questions about this, otherwise I will just hand over to somebody else to talk about other countries.
I am Jamil Ahmed. I am from Bangladesh. I am also a native language lead working for Bengali language. We have a small group named Onkur. We are working with open source localization from year 2002. Generally, we started with localization with KDE, but at that time the Qt library was not supporting the Indic languages, so we paused working on that and we started localizing the Gnome. And from Gnome 2.4, we have above 80% localizations. So currently we are just enhancing the translations and the spell checkings and the grammar checkings. After working on Gnome, the Qt library have some improvement and we started again with KDE translations. Around 1 year and a half, we start working with OpenOffice. It is a huge work. And in our country, there is a little bit problem with the internet connectivity in for home users. Still, people use dial-up connection, so we cannot afford working on online. So we generally use offline translations tools for localization. Mainly, there is Windows user in our country, so we use the PO editor for Windows, and we have a small glossary for the technical terms we use in localizations. And there are some other tools we use for localizations. Another volunteer of us made a Perl program, which name is Onubadok. The English is a translator. We convert that our glossary database, internal database, and the Perl program use it. And it can translate any English text or literature into Bengali. But the quality is fine, but not that much good. So we have to review that also. And we wrote an extension of that Perl program. So we use that extension to translate PO files. So at the first phase, we pass that PO files to that machine translator. It puts the standard the terminologies in the PO file, then we just revise them. Now we are trying to gather more volunteers, we just goes to different universities and ask students to participate in localizations. And mainly it is very new to the people about the localization issues. People didn't see any localized application. They are mainly tends to use Windows softwares. So when they get or see the localized application, they get interested. And they just come and work with us for a week, maybe. In our localization camps, we use Putu server, and there is a in their computer lab, we plugged our laptops, installed a Putu server in that, and we use OpenOffice translations on that. And the Perl program I told, we have another extension of that. It has an online version. It's a CGI program, so anyone can look up English words or terminologies in the web. So we use mainly Firefox. In one tab, the portal server localizing with OpenOffice, and another tab using our that CGI program. So if anybody has any confusion or need to check any terminologies, they just copy paste and search. And through that program, if there is a new word or any new suggestion, people can submit that also. It is kept on a separate database. And after 2 or 3 weeks or a month, we just check the suggestion database and put them into the original database if the suggestions are okay or there are some corrections. This way we are working still, and currently we have translated around 50 to 60% of the user interface. Previously we submitted very few translations of OpenOffice, so the issue manager told us to at least come up to 80% of translations. So we are gathering it, and I think by this year we can submit the all translations of user interface of OpenOffice. And there are some, actually in our country there is no big vendor, so there is a little bit problem with getting sponsors for this organizing this type of campaigns. But there are local IT companies, they are getting interested on these issues because they were not aware of this. And we are trying working with journalists, and mainly IT journalists who put reports on these issues, and people are getting interested day by day. It will take some time, I think, but I think it will work in future. Questions?
Actually, this would be through all three people. What would be the best things that OpenOffice.org generally could do to help you in your localization distribution processes, and also in, say, getting more people to assist you in localization and other efforts? For example, better LTN information displayed.
In our country, I can say that when we ask people to use OpenOffice, the first response is that they don't know about OpenOffice. This is number one. And when we describe them, the OpenOffice is similar to the Office suite of Microsoft, then they just don't bother, because I am using MS Office, why should I change to OpenOffice? Okay. Because of the piracy, we have a high level of piracy in our region. That is the main issue. Okay, but when we talk about the localization issues, then they get interested. Yeah, this fine thing. But generally, the computer users are mainly major portion of them are from computer background. But there are some other users from other backgrounds. There are few number. So when we put localized interface, they just see, okay, it's good, it's cool, but they don't use this in their daily life. So they don't get the feelings of it. I think if we can push this into the lower level, more of the mass people, like in university libraries or public libraries, in cyber cafes, where general people will use, who have some difficulties with English, they will get the benefit, but not the educated people. Educated people will just see and say it is cool, but they don't use it in their real life. So I think the most important thing is to aware people that there is OpenOffice, and then to the mass working level, who are with NGOs mainly. There are several, lots of NGOs in our country, non-profit organizations, who are working in village levels with poor people. I think they can implement it in mass level. But as a volunteer, and we have very few volunteers, it is very hard for us to push this.
At the end, what we end up doing is creating language communities more than open source communities. I mean, or as anybody can read in my t-shirt, basically the campaign, or campaign is, we are proud to use Khmer language software. So we work on, our campaigns are mostly based not on the quality of the software, not on being open source. It's based on being
national,
on a very national guys.
Language first. This is an experience I had about Bhutan and their national language, Tsonga. The initiative to promote a localized version of a full localized version of Linux, and including OpenOffice, has been impacted by the will of the government, the king first, to continue promoting the Tsonga language all over Bhutan, even though their full education system is bilingual. They want to keep Tsonga alive, they want to use Tsonga in computers. in that case, the initiative comes from the top, because there is a kind of political will for this. In other cases, maybe the case is more difficult for India than Bangladesh, because educated people are very skilled in English, so actually there's kind of an obstacle to spread out, just like Jamil said. It can block the localization.
I guess, at least for, say, promoting more active localization, one thing that we could do is we have done it for Hindi. Basically, it was like translation workshops where at least 10-15 translators get together for 4-5 days and they work on the translation, we do translation, we improve the translation. So we have had 3 workshops in the past, but they were more for Gnome and KD. We haven't yet done an open office one.
So, when you do that, are you finding, as Jamil said, that the volunteers are mostly university students, are the ones that are interested in all the cases? Where are you getting volunteers from?
No, our case, it's more like since we already have a network of people, we just kind of announced that we are doing this. So anybody who is interested in motivated, you know, can come in. And since we are Hindi translations, so there is a kind of online Hindi community, the bloggers community.
Right.
So sometimes the news like spreads that way, and there's also academic community, at least where I am based in Delhi, where I work. So they already have, since the organization itself does some content generation, and they have some translators of their own. So we like plug in their translation network, etc. But it's kind of not a very large scale. It's not like we just say that we already have a model, a ready model, and we just try to do it in different places. We haven't yet actually done that. Because one effect it caused is that since the English education has been so prominent, what we have found that the language skills of people are, it's kind of very basic. And when it comes to translations, then it becomes difficult for us. That then it's like all the people that we have, even if we say like get 20 volunteers, so the quality that we will get is quite low. So that is one problem for us. So in that case, what we do is we try to just get only the experienced people to work on. But
so
then
you say mostly university students
for
Bangladesh.
I was just figuring out the magnetism and everything you have.
It does.
At least we think it does, but.
No.
Yes.
For us, it's very hard to get volunteers. We tend to get people from the university, it's a process. We pay them a little bit of money, very little money, but. So that they can get some experience. But getting volunteers for translation would be very hard for us. But getting volunteers for promotion is easier. Because we just give them 3 or 4 days of training, and they are tired of going to places and being a representative of these things.
Because you know, one of the criticisms I hear about sort of getting the translation is paid by an organization is that it's much harder than to get the community to adopt it, whereas if you've got people that are volunteering and contributing to translations, then they're likely to use it because it also helped get it to a certain point. So,
this is probably true, but all our translation is professional in Cambodia. But otherwise, we'll not be able to assure any quality. But we have not invented, but we have widen the meaning of 2,500 words. It takes a long time to get used to use all these words, and we still don't have the tools to control that the new translators use the same vocabulary. I mean, we hope that what we're doing workforce basically to make it easier for volunteers to join workforce and give us some quality work. But right now we are not prepared.
So actually, you need a system with mentors and people who will learn. So
right.
You're kind of suggesting
like
a Google Summer of Translation or something like that.
Well, I actually wanted to, it's not a summer of translations, but I'm particularly interested in translations. And, you know, I have talked to Javier as well about this, which he actually inspired me last year with his talk about developing countries and how and where, you know, it's not obvious that a software, open source software, is going to be available in that language from the outset, and how can we use all this talent around the world and pull them together in a place where it's not just OpenOffice benefiting, but it's all these other open source projects that benefit. So, you know, the work that you said you started with GNOME and KDE, how much of that, when you start doing